Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 13th chapter of St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, beginning with the 11th verse. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to awake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us for your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. I can still remember it like it happened just yesterday. My wife and I needed a vacation, but where should we go? I had a next-door neighbor who was from South Louisiana, and he had been trying to convince us for some time that New Orleans should be on the top of our list. After some persuading, we finally decided to get some reservations, pack our bags, and head off to the Crescent City. Needless to say, New Orleans was truly spectacular. To be sure, parts were a bit dirty and run down, and yet the French Quarter lived up to our every expectation. There we toured the St. Louis Cathedral. We saw where the Louisiana Purchase was transferred. We even got to hear a little jazz along the way. But one of the things that I have omitted to tell you was that the date was September August 27th, 2005. Only 2 days later, Hurricane Katrina would wreak havoc upon the entire city. It wasn't until we arrived that we first learned that the storm had changed direction and now was heading straight for the city. When my brother caught wind of this, he immediately called us and told us we had to leave the city. At first, my wife and I blew him off, because he was a bit nervous about hurricanes ever since he experienced two bad ones the year before. What is more, those in New Orleans weren't really all that concerned about this hurricane. In fact, the vast majority were perfectly content to ride it out on Bourbon Street. After a few more phone calls, my brother finally prevailed and convinced us that we really needed to leave the city. And so we did. But I can still remember the hotel manager thinking we were a little bit nuts for doing so. If my brother had not awoken us from our collective delusion that we shared with so many in the Crescent City, we might have experienced the just deserves of our foolishness. The same is true for those who remain in their spiritual darkness. For in our text today, St. Paul calls us to always be ready for when the last day may come. For Christ himself doesn't mince words about the last day for those who refuse to repent. For then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. For in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The concept of safety in numbers is truly a powerful psychological phenomenon. For those people in New Orleans had us nearly convinced that we were canceling our vacation for nothing. Fortunately, it was my brother who talked some sense into us. In the same way, St. Paul here in our text, our brother is trying to speak some sense into us as well. For he calls us each to awake from our spiritual slumber. For on that last the day of wrath, the day of mourning, clinging only to those teachings of Christ that are socially acceptable, will not pass muster. Likewise, calling on our Lord Jesus Christ only when we have need of him, to blow him off when it's our time to stand up for him, simply will not do. Thus our Lord Jesus Christ says, wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to heaven, and few are on it. In fact, he warns, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. There is an old story in Lutheranism that Martin Luther was once asked, what would he do if he knew the last day was tomorrow? He is reported to have said, I would have planted an apple tree. This is a very eloquent and proverbial response, but what does it mean? It means that we shouldn't have to live the last day of our lives any different than any other. For there is no such thing as cramming for our spiritual finals tomorrow so that we can live like godless heathens today. Now that we have reflected upon what it means to throw off the works of darkness, let us meditate once on what it means to put on the armor of light. This armor of light was placed upon us on our holy baptism. As St. Paul explains a little bit later in our text, he says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Later on, he says, for as many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Note this putting on of Christ in our baptism is called the armor of light, because herein we bask in the healing light of the Son of Righteousness, as the prophet Malachi states. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. This armor of light, in truth, calls us to be supermen of sorts, not the Nietzschean supermen of our godless culture who wants to dismiss good and evil so that we can rule among men. No, God is calling us here to be Superman of the old comic book sort. For you see, Superman's call, ultimately, is to protect the innocents and serve the common good. He lives on this earth, but it's not truly his own. And while he has extraordinary gifts, he is a mortal being who derives all of his power from the life-giving Son. In the very same way, we are called to the very same life. For when we put upon Christ in holy baptism, we tap in to the power of Christ, which alone enables us to put on Christ so that we bask forever in the uncreated light of the thrice holy God. It is this power alone that allows us to share and spread the light of Christ upon our neighbor. It is this light that will allow us to live forever in all eternity. And finally, what's interesting more about this connection is that ultimately, this life that seems to be extraordinary is ultimately and truly lived under the mundane. For you see, the real comic book hero that the Christian life really reflects is the mild-mannered Clark Kent. This world doesn't see anything extraordinary about him. In fact, they mock his Boy Scout persona. In fact, like us so often, he finds himself wishing the world could only know what it truly means to embrace the Christian identity. And yet it's this very same identity that ultimately allows him to carry out his mission. In the same way, the cross is the only way that God could carry about his mission. For God, through his holy church, was only able to accomplish salvation by means of the all-conquering Christ and his cross, which sheds light upon us. For there is no other power than what can be derived from weakness. This is what St. Paul says when he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Thus, when we cast off our old sinful flesh, when we tap into our baptisms and put on the armor of light, and we share that light to those around us, it may not seem to be all that extraordinary. It may not seem to be all that heroic. But rest assured, brothers and sisters, that it truly is. For after all, it once was a mild-mannered Messiah in Nazareth from a sleepy town that once set this world ablaze. Amen.